Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ask Anything presented by Mojo Consulting. I'm your host, Angel Leon, Mojo's Director of Personnel. We're glad you're with us for this episode of Ask Anything, where we'll be discussing best practices when working with Jira. Joining me today to discuss this is Mojo's Director of Software Engineering, Mark Brickley. Mark Brickley is Mojo Consulting's Director of Software Engineering and has over 20 years of experience delivering custom software solutions. He has an extensive background in both the federal government and commercial sectors, with experience in military aviation, logistics, and consultant. Mark brings experience leading projects large, more or less about $5 million in annual budget, and small, about 20K, we'll say that, advising our clients to the right size solutions. Mark embraces the agile concept of providing value quickly and then adding iterative improvements. In his free time, Mark enjoys volunteering as a youth basketball coach and hosting family game nights. Let's welcome our guest, Mark Brickley. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm really excited. I didn't notice how much of a phone voice you had there on how working with you every day. So I had a little bit of fun with that. Love it. Keep it up.
I've had some practice in the past before, so I've developed my phone tone, but now let's just go back to the normal tone. How about that? All right. So Mark, it's great to have you with us today to talk about Jira. Let's start there. Can you give us a quick overview of what Jira is?
Yes. And probably the first thing I'd say is Jira is one of those software applications that I use every day. Like that's how ingrained it is into our processes. So in general, Jira is a work management piece of software, allows you to put together all your to-do items and actually manage it across teams. So make sure that you're executing the items that need to be done to achieve your goals. That's kind of like the quickest way that I would put it. Jira definitely did start out as a bug tracking software. Actually, it was for software strictly just for bugs, but then people were finding, hey, this has a lot of value to it. So it's been growing and expanding quite a bit into not just bugs, but it's full service software development. It's gone over into different industries and sectors, whether you're doing marketing websites or businesses, call centers. It really satisfies and services a lot of different industries now. It's pretty cool. Does good stuff.
I did not know that little tidbit about it starting off as a bug software. That's actually kind of neat.
Yes, yes.
So Jira, of course, comes from Atlassian. So what are some of the different Jira products that Atlassian offers?
So Atlassian has a couple. It has a couple different flavors of Jira as well as other products. It has Confluence, which is basically like a wiki management tool. We actually use that quite a bit as well. Jira software is the one that, at least for our group, I'm in application services. So we do custom application development. We use Jira software because it's more project-oriented items where you have a whole series of tickets that are interconnected. Maybe the goals that you're trying to achieve and the outcomes are things that take months. Jira software is better suited to handle that. They have another thing called Jira Service Management, which a lot of people just call JSM for short. That's really geared more towards help desk type environments where someone has a problem. It's one isolated ticket that just needs to be worked. So it's a simplified workflow for that particular case. Again, that's Jira Service Management or JSM. There's also something called Jira Work Management, JWM, that Jira has been trying to evolve. And what that is it's kind of Trello on steroids. If you've ever used Trello, okay. Trello is a agile Kanban tool. It actually was its own tool and Atlassian bought it maybe 5 years ago or so. I'm not sure the exact date. Trello has a very loyal fan base. There's a lot of customizations that can happen with it. Jira Work Management is somewhere in between Trello and Jira software. And then I'm trying to think, it seems like there's one more product, which is actually one that I really like a whole lot. It's called Jira Product Discovery or JPD. That's one that they launched just this past year. What that's geared towards is more your product roadmap. So okay. If you think about like the goals that you have something like for this year, what are the things you want to have done every quarter? Usually those are high level, big ideas and you want to lay them out so you know what the priority is and when you think they're going to get done and use estimates. But in the end, to actually execute it, you need tickets that are much smaller. You need to decompose this big level idea, like incorporate OCR, object character recognition into your software, into actionable pieces that people can do. Actionable pieces would be in your Jira software. but the big idea is what would be in Jira product discovery.
That's a lot of great offerings from Atlassian revolving around Jira. So what are some tips in how to organize your work in Jira?
There's lots of ways to do it. I'm going to focus on Jira software because that's what I use every day. A great thing about Jira is that it's so customizable to meet the different use cases that you have. But at the same time, one of the worst things about Jira is that it's so customizable that a lot of people can cause problems that are headaches that are really hard to like unravel and keep people together. So it's good to know what some best practices and standards are, as well as some run rules kind of for your team, just to kind of help people moving along, because, you know, you hope your employees are there forever, you stay together, but the reality is people get new jobs, people move, situations change. So as people change, you want to be able to come in and say, okay, I'm going to pick up your work, maybe while you're on vacation for 2 weeks. It's in a similar structure as to what I'm used to. Okay, so there's lots of benefits to having. Where I would start off with is just kind of the concept that Jira has for projects. Okay, at a high level, Jira allows you to create these collections of tickets called projects. And there's a couple different methodologies for them. The one that I subscribe to the most, because I'm a software person, is I like to have a project for every software product that you have. So okay, let's say your company builds four products. I'm probably going to create four projects for it. Why? Okay, every ticket has a prefix on it that identifies the project that the ticket's in. So let's say I have a complex system where maybe I have merchandise in a store that people are buying, and I have the marketing that's needed for it and the sales. And then there's this shipping app that when someone buys something that we got to go in and actually fulfill that order and ship it. By having a ticket that starts with ship, SHIP-123, immediately I know that's a ticket for the shipping product. Like there's just a lot of power. If nothing else, I don't know the description, I don't know the details, anything. I just know the ticket number. I know it's one that applies to the shipping product. Okay. There's a lot of power in that. There are some other methodologies that people have. I've seen people have projects that are based on team. So let's say you have four Scrum teams all working on different things. You might have a project per team that is a valid solution. So it might be something that is appropriate for your team or your company, but the product method might be better for others. You know, some that I like to say is I'm not a fan of rules. I'm more a fan of guidelines. So when I come in here and I say, okay, I like product first, look at that, create your projects in that way. You've got to look at it and say, is this reasonable? Is this what works for me? And make a judgment call. Because you know what? I've seen some projects where I've gone in and they are distributed by product, and I go in there and there's only 10 tickets. It's like, if you've only got 10 tickets in the project, that's kind of a waste. Okay. That's right. Like overdoing your organization.
Right.
And maybe it's better to combine a couple in a theme. Like, are there a couple products that fulfill similar functions? Maybe put them all together in the same project. In the end, use your best judgment. But I would start off with look at your software products and probably create a project per product. Now, within there, projects is where you start. When you go into Jira and you create a new instance and you're starting to create projects, there's a feature that by default is turned off that I immediately turn on. What that is something called releases. It allows you to manage all the tickets that you have in a way that aligns to the releases of your software that you have. That way, from a planning perspective, if you're looking at everything you have and you're saying, these are the 20 tickets that need to be in version 3.0 of the software, you can go ahead and assign them to that ticket. And then that gives everybody in your team an understanding and knowledge of what the plan is, that these tickets all correlate. They need to be done for 3.0, and they need to be done by whatever date 3.0 is. And it's something you can manage. Are we ahead of schedule? Are we behind schedule? Can we add more items in there? And it gives you a history of the things that you've done. So often we'll find something that kind of comes up, and someone might say, huh, that's an interesting change. When did we make that? That's helpful to know if it's something we did recently or if it's something we did 5 years ago and people are just now noticing. That does happen. Sometimes it's features that we thought, you know what, we're going to deliver this and we think it's going to be great. And they're not using it because they didn't know that it was out there. That lets us know maybe we need to change the way that we market the new feature so people are aware of it. Maybe that means we need to do more user research to understand the features that we deliver. Are they the right ones to put into the software? So those are things that when we bring in clients in our custom application development that we talk to them about so that we can make sure when we're doing new features and we're using this releases functionality within Jira, are we doing the necessary steps up front to make sure we're delivering the right features to the users that deliver value, to the business that deliver value, and then there is a communication or marketing plan to make sure that there is user adoption to it as well.
Yeah, those are a lot of ways to help organize your work in Jira. So I want to move into another set of tips that I want you to give, because I'm sure plenty of people out there can relate, but my to-do list at home is rather large. So I can't imagine how big are the ones for your software projects, especially as you were just explaining just now, how big they can get, which leads me to my next question. Can you give some tips on how to find the items you're looking for in your Jira projects?
Absolutely. And it's funny that you mention your at-home to-do list, because sometimes when I explain what Jira is to people, I use that analogy. Actually, just 2 weeks ago, I told someone, hey, if you're going to clean out your garage, what are all the things that you would do? And have start itemizing it. And we created tickets for it. And then what we did was we started relating them, showing what the order of operations are. Where do you start? What do you got to do next? Where do you end? Are there spots where you can parallelize tasks so that someone can help you out? So you're exactly right. When we do a software project, it's not usually just 5 tickets. Okay. There's lots of things going on. Some of our projects, we have multiple Scrum teams. We might have 80 people overall working on it in order to achieve some large goal for one of our clients. When using Jira, they have something called a backlog view, which is like your to-do list, all the things you have to do. You got to look at it. What's the highest priority? What's going to be the most value? When you start entering things, there can be a lot. I've actually gone into a Jira project that we took over a contract for a client that a different contractor had, and there were 14,000 tickets in that project. Okay. How are you going to find anything in there? In order to be able to find things, you have to think about Jira and what it is. Jira, in the end, it's really just a database of information that has a front end that allows you to manage it. So think about the data that you might put into a table. Okay, just a spreadsheet. How would you put in that information so that you could filter in Excel to find the data? I would need multiple columns to be able to effectively sort on it. Jira has a couple fields that come right out of the box that's really important to use and to enter valid data in, so that as your to-do list grows, you can go in and say, let me filter on this field. Let me find only the tickets that have to do with my cleaning out the garage project. Or let's go into something more real world. I want to find all the tickets that have to do with refreshing our marketing website. Some of those fields are, one of them is components. What is a component? There's a couple different perspectives that you can take. I think the two main ones are, if you look at your product that you have, there's probably a lot of different business processes that that product satisfies or applies to. That's usually the methodology that I like to take. Again, guideline, something I mentioned earlier. Think about the product, think about how the user uses it, think about the business, and identify areas of the process. Create components for that. You know, maybe it's order packing, maybe it's stocking shelves, maybe it's shipping, maybe it's taking orders. Create those components and assign your tickets to them. If you've assigned them to a component at any point in Jira, you can go on there. You can go into the advanced search, right? What's called a JQL query, and say, where component equals shipping. And I'll show you all the tickets that apply to that. That's components. And that's only one methodology. An alternative methodology, which is more technical. Some people like to do components based on your technical design. So let's say you have like a microservices architecture where you have 20 different microservices. They might like to assign each ticket to the service in the software design that it applies to. That is something that can be extremely helpful and powerful. However, what you find is the only people who have the knowledge in order to utilize that are the developers and maybe your DevOps engineers that deploy the code.
Okay.
I like looking at more of the product process, because then that means everybody can look at the ticket and use it. It could be your product owner, your Scrum Master. Maybe you have a customer or a SME or a user could come in and actually figure out, how do I find the tickets that apply to what I want? Because it's using natural language terminology that you would see from a non-technical standpoint on the front end. So that's components. The other thing that I'll mention is epics. Okay. Epics is another ticket type in Jira. It's a very specialized one that comes right out of the box in Jira. In Jira software, what an epic is it's a theme of tickets. So it's really a way to kind of group things together. If I have 100 tickets in my backlog, it's really kind of hard to understand how do they all fit together.
Mm-hmm.
If you assign them to what's called an epic, then what you can do is basically chunk them and say these 10 tickets fit this theme. These 20 tickets fit this other theme. And by grouping them into these themes, again, it gives you an ability to quickly drill down, whether it's a JQL query. There's also some support in the Jira backlog view to filter by epic natively and find the tickets that you want. There is a couple best practices with epics. I'll just say one because, hey, I've already talked a lot. I'm definitely a wordy guy. But people have different philosophies on what's the ideal size of an epic. What I find from human psychology is the number 10 is a very natural number for humans. Probably a big part of it is the fact that most number systems are decimal based. So there's a natural logical concept of the number 10. So I usually tell people the ideal number of tickets in an epic is 10. Can it be more? Can it be less? Yes. You know, it's a guideline. It's not a rule.
Right.
But if you find that you start having 20, 25 tickets in an epic, that probably says, you know what, your theme's too big. Maybe you should split this epic up into two to get it to a point where you can manage all your tickets in your backlog better.
Right. Okay. So for the software people out there, they're probably familiar with the concept of user story ticket, but not all of us are software people. So can you explain what that is and why it matters?
Yes, definitely. There's several different ticket types that come out of the box in Jira, and they have specialized meanings. The very first one I mentioned earlier when I said Jira started out as a bug tracking software, there's tickets that are bugs. There's different types because these names have meaning when people hear them. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody listening here, if I said there's a bug, people know exactly what it means. Something in the software isn't working as it should.
Right.
One of the other types of tickets that they have is something called a user story. A very key thing in there is the word user. What it's doing is it's taking the request that people have out of the software and it's describing it in a way in how it benefits and impacts the user that's going to utilize it. The way that I talk about it is user stories are really problem statements. Understanding what a user story is important. It kind of matters a lot. Something that used to happen decades ago in software is people were adding things to software just because, oh, wouldn't it be cool if the software did XYZ without knowing, is anybody actually going to use that? Does that actually fit into the business process? Does it really add value? So a user story is looking at the people who will actually use the software. Is it the accountant in the process? Is it a health and safety manager? Is it a customer service representative? And understanding how they really work in their job, how they will use the software, understand the flows, and really describe the problems that they have, how implementing that request will improve their life, how it will improve, make easier the job that they do, so that the team is guided to the right end result of delivering value to an end user of the software.
I understand that proper user stories is something you're passionate about. Can you give us maybe your top two tips about how to write good user stories?
Well, word definitely travels around the company that I'm passionate about user stories, and I definitely am.
Maybe.
Giving two tips, only two tips will be hard. I actually give a standard training that's about 6 hours on how to write user stories. And we don't have time for that, do
we? We're going to have to break this episode down into six episodes. Let's go.
Yes. So if I were to give two tips, okay, probably the biggest and highest level one is a good user story should be a description of a problem, not a solution. Oftentimes when people hear someone start describing a problem, what they do is they start immediately going towards a solution, gravitating towards that. A user story is properly grabbing the problem that the user has. And then once you have it described and you can verify, you understand what the problem is, how it impacts the user by it being there, how it will impact them if you fix it, then you can start ideating of, out of all the possible design solutions we have to solve this problem, what's the best one? Okay. My second tip actually kind of piggybacks on the first one a little bit, in that when I talk about descriptions of problems, you have to be careful when talking to end users, because sometimes what they will describe is actually the symptom of a problem. So you have to really understand their overall process, what their goals are, and really analyze it and say, is that really the problem? Let's kind of go back. In some cases, they ask for something that's too detailed. So I'll give an example that I give in some of the trainings that I give. I've talked to a user before where they said, what I need to do is I need to be able to download an Excel worksheet that has such and such information in it. And I kind of asked them, I'm like, well, does it have to be in Excel form? Like, is there a technical reason because you're putting it into a system, or is that the software that you're used to? And they said, well, actually, no, it doesn't have to be in Excel. What I really meant was it's just kind of a table format because it's a report. I'm like, oh, okay. So what you really need is you need a report on XYZ. And they're like, yes. Okay. And then I followed up with, well, what you said was you need to download an Excel report. Download is a manual action. Is that something you really want or need? Do you want to be able to have it on demand to go get this report whenever you want? I'm like, well, actually, what would be really nice is if it just automatically mailed it to me monthly, because you know what? I don't care about it until the first day of the month. I want to know a summary of what happened in the month before. Okay. So then what you really need is you need a report of this information automatically sent to you in an electronic form. As long as it's table wise, you know, it doesn't matter if it's an Excel file or a PDF table or a Word document, or maybe even a CSV file. They're like, yeah. And actually, if it's automatic and I don't have to do the manual action, that's even better.
Right.
So by talking to the user, really asking a few follow-up questions, everything is just understanding what they really need. You're able to take something that was very detailed. I need to download an Excel file and actually rework it into an actual problem statement. And then once you have that problem statement, then you can go off and do that design based on that user story.
All right. Well, before we go, I want to ask one last thing about a couple of items that you mentioned previously, the components and epics. So once you have the work to be done written in user stories, organized in Jira projects and categorized with components and epics, do you have any tips on how to execute the work?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Now I'll kind of leverage something that I said before about guidelines. You know, every project's going to be different. Every team's going to be different.
Right.
So this tip here is kind of maybe apply to some more than others. But generally, in my background, you know, I've been working in software for 20 years, projects both big and small. Understanding how the different tickets or tasks that you have relate to each other is really important. I'll harken back to Six Sigma, which I think kind of came out in the 1980s in manufacturing. There's cases where you have tasks that need to be done that can be worked in parallel amongst other people. But sometimes there's tasks that have to be executed in serial, meaning this has to be done. Task A has to be done before someone can work on task B. And what that does is that could create a bottleneck that you have where you're not using all the capacity of your resources to move your initiative along. So for me, it's really important in Jira, when we're creating tickets, we're going in and creating blocking relationships to show that order of operations. What tickets can be done in parallel, which ones have to be in serial. One of the drawbacks that we found was natively in Jira, even though you can put in these blocking relationships, it's really hard to kind of see the big picture. Most of the screens are issue by issue. So you create a ticket, you can go to that ticket and see what it blocks and what else blocks it, but you can't really see the big picture. Out of these 70 items that we have to do, where should we start? Where are areas where we need to make sure we're managing our risks because we have a bottleneck in there and we have to make sure that we get to it and get to it quickly? So for that reason, at Mosure Consulting and our Mosure Labs division, we created a product for Jira that's actually available in the Atlassian marketplace for download called ClearPath for Jira. when you download it, there's no additional setup that you need. There's no additional attributes. What it does is it takes the information you should already have in your tickets, and it helps you visualize how all these tickets relate to each other. And it lays it out in order of operations, so you can see what are the tickets that are not blocked right now and we can start working on. How do they enable us to work the next set of items so that we can stay on schedule, so that we can stay on budget, so we can utilize all of our resources? So for us, putting in those relationships, going into ClearPath and really being able to, you know, visualize the work that we have, letting ClearPath do some automatic analysis tools to analyze where our critical path is so we can manage our schedule and stay on schedule, manage our technical complexity so that we don't have a risk that's realized. That helps out a lot. And that's something that's been transformative here at Mojer Consulting with a number of our projects. So I would highly recommend put in the blocking relationships, go check out our app, ClearPath for Jira. I'm sure you'll be impressed.
Absolutely. Mark, that's a great piece of advice. Thank you once again for joining us today on Ask Anything. We certainly appreciate your time and your knowledge in Jira. So we hope to have you back sometime soon, but thank you again.
No problem. I was happy to be here. Thank you, Angel.
Thank you for listening in to this week's edition of Ask Anything presented by Mojer Consulting. We hope you enjoyed listening to Mark Brickley talk to us about Jira products. Join us next time when we continue to dive deeper with our resident experts and what they're currently working on. Remember to send us your ideas or topics via social media feeds. In the meantime, please remember to give us a rating and subscribe to our feed wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, so long, everybody. Go!